We have our dear brother John Blackwell with us, and he has richly blessed us in the past, and we're looking forward to a rich blessing from his ministry today. He has chosen as his subject this morning, "Lead me, teach me, guide me," Psalms 32:8. And there is a handout, so if you haven't received a handout, raise your hand and the deacons will get you one. "Lead me, teach me, guide me," Brother John.
Thank you, Brother Dan. Good morning, brethren. It's nice to be with you all. Looking back 45 years ago in Seattle, the World's Fair, remember meeting many of you at that time, coming out on the train and then coming up to Vancouver and then back to the Seattle Convention. And since then, we have enjoyed your fellowship and the spiritual food from your elders over the many years. It's a blessing for Sister Pam and I to be here with you. And on Friday, we sort of got a quick preview visualization of what the kingdom on earth might be like when the kingdom is fully set up. We visited your Chicago Botanical Gardens, and they were just beautiful with all the different gardens, the English garden, the Japanese garden, the rose garden, and about 20 other gardens where the flowers were in bloom. But it certainly gives us a little glimpse of what it might be like in the kingdom for the world of mankind on earth with all these very beautiful plants and vegetation. We bring the love of our Langley class and also the love of Sister Ruth Chambers. She turns 92 this year, and Sister Berna McNee in her mid-80s, and they send their love. Also, Brother Daniel, Sister Stara Sarkovich from the Vancouver class. We met with them here in the last week, and they sent their love as well. Our lesson today is on your handout. It's taken from Psalms 32, 8 and 9. And just a general overview of how we are taught of and by God. Just like to read Psalm 32:8 and 9. "I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. Be not as the horse or as the mule which have no understanding, whose mouth must be held in with bit and bridle, that they lest they come near unto thee." When a parent, or Sister Pam and I here in our later years as grandparents, hold their newborn child, and having Justin here just about ready to turn two, we're overwhelmed with joy. There's also a sense of responsibility that the parents have towards their newborn child, their desire to guide the child aright, to teach the child wisdom, understanding, so that the child will experience as rich and rewarding a life as possible. This child, too, naturally looks to the parent for instruction, and in Justin's case, we see him looking to Tamara and Brett, for instruction and guidance in life's way. The child stays close to the mother's side in the early days, and he or she grows in strength and years. They begin to reach out to experience more of life and learning. As a child grows, we see the wise parent seeks out the best schools with the very best teachers for them. They realize just how important a good start in education and learning is. When it comes time to seek higher education, they look for admittance into the best colleges or the technical or vocational institutes with the best reputations in the land. They want to do what is the best for them. It's interesting what the King Solomon said, wise King Solomon, in Proverbs, the 4th chapter, 3-7. Proverbs 4, 3. For I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also and said unto me, let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments and live. Get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not, nor decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. Just a beautiful scripture on the importance of learning. The knowledge, the wisdom, the understanding. And so that's what our lesson is about today. And with the outline that we've given you, just some basics on teaching and learning, and then the course that we go through as Christians, being called by God through Jesus, and the course that we run, and the course that we learn and are taught of God. And then finally, the tools and aids to learning. And some of the things that we have to keep in mind in going through this particular course. So we need to be taught, we need to be instructed or led, and we need to be guided, as Psalms 32:8 points out to us. I will instruct thee, teach thee in the way thou shalt go, I will guide thee with mine eye. So what is this scripture telling us? What does this scripture mean to you? Just think about it for a few seconds, what Psalms 32:8 is saying. Who is doing the instructing? God. God is the teacher. Two, we are the learner. And we go through this instructing and guiding process. So we're going through the teaching-learning process. So the Father, the Lord of the universe, He is the teacher, we are the student, we are the pupil. He's speaking and saying that He will be our teacher, our instructor, our leader, our guide. He who is the fountain of all knowledge and of life itself has told us He's our teacher. When we attempt to comprehend this, it amazes us and astounds us. What a wonderful and beautiful promise this is. There could be no better teacher, and who can compare with Him? So it sounds like we're taking a course. We're going to school, or we're going to college, and being taught of God, we're going to use this analogy. Well, how do we enter the school? Well, we see that normally if you have to take a course or a program of studies, basically, you have to be admitted. You have to go through the admissions process. And so, basically, you go through some kind of admission procedure. Well, Jesus tells us what this process or procedure is, what the admission criteria is. John 6:44. No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. Those drawn of the Father, Jesus invites. Also, in Matthew, the 11th chapter, 28. Matthew 11:28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me, for I am meek and lowly of heart. Ye shall find rest in your souls. My yoke is easy, my burden is light. So once we've been admitted into this course, we have become enrolled. And Jesus is calling us to come and learn of him. He is seeking those who have an ear to hear and our eyes are wide open. Matthew 13:16. Blessed are your eyes, for they see, your ears, for they hear the word of the Lord. He is seeking the meek. The meek will guide in judgment, and the meek, excuse me, will he teach his way. Psalms 25:9. So as a Christian, we might liken our walk with the Lord that we're taking a specific course. We might call this course Christ-like Character 101. So as in taking this earthly course, this course will have a purpose, it will have learning objectives, it will have a curriculum, it will have a specified length, and we've laid that out under Roman numeral 2 there in the outline. It will have required textbooks, and we will want to know if it is an easy course or a difficult one. That's the one the students always want to know. You know, is it a tough course? Is it easy? Is it entertaining? Is it interesting? And, you know, how do I get an A or an A+? They always want to know that as well. Well, we see that there'll be lessons, there'll be assignments, and yes, there'll be quizzes, there'll be tests, there'll be examinations, and yes, there'll be evaluations. And if faithful, we will be able to make our calling and election sure. We will pass the course. So what is the purpose of Christ-like Character 101? Well, Romans 8:28-29, most of us can quote it. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. So this course is designed to help us to conform to the image of God's dear Son, Jesus. It isn't teaching us to conform to this world, but to be transformed by the renewing of our minds into the image of Christ. What is the length of this course? Well, for each one of us, it's of varying lengths. It's individualized, it's customized, and it's tailorized. But for every one of us, it is a lifetime course. It's going to take our whole lifetime once we are called and chosen by God through Jesus. We hear this term always about lifelong learning. It's used a lot. But in our case, it is very appropriate in our walk. It is a lifelong learning process. And we are lifelong learners once we enter the school of Christ. So is Christ-like Character 101 an easy or difficult course? Well, we know it's an expensive course. People talk about tuitions going up. And we see it's very expensive. It will cost us how much? The scriptures say it will cost us our all. We have to study hard. We have to be dedicated. There'll be many lessons to learn, challenges to meet, weaknesses to overcome. There are not many who take this course, so it may be at times a bit lonely. The instructor will be the best in the universe, the Lord himself. He will expect us to pay close attention to his word. But with its successful completion comes great gain. There is a great reward attached to successfully completing this course. Honor, glory, immortality. Is it an easy course? No, it's a very difficult one, and we're told that many times in the Scriptures, but it is a blessed course, one filled with much joy, learned peace, and much hope. What are the required textbooks for this course? Well, we all know that. It's the Word of God. It's this Bible. We also have a series of textbooks called Studies in the Scriptures, 6 volumes, topically arranged to help us understand the Scriptures. And this is one thing that a lot of other people in this world do not have. In 2 Timothy 3:16 to 17, it says, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for 4 things. 1, doctrine. 2, reproof. 3, correction. And 4, for instruction in righteousness." Jesus also said in Matthew 4:4, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God, so that we may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works." What does that mean? Perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. It means that everything we need can be found in or must conform to the inspired Word of God. How reassuring for us that His Word is sufficient. We know the Bible, the most wonderful book in existence. The Old and New Testaments form a perfect guide to faith, composed of 66 separate books written by about 40 different writers, living centuries apart, hundreds of years apart, speaking different languages, subjects of different governments, and brought up under different civilizations. All the books of the Old and New Testaments, as we now have them, appear in the Greek, the Sinaitic manuscript, the oldest known Greek manuscript, whose date goes back about 350 A.D. And that's taken out of reprint 1145. Secondly, our other set of textbooks that we have to help us understand the Scriptures is the 6 text studies in the Scriptures. These were provided through meat in due season by that wise and faithful servant, Brother Charles Taz Russell. And this gives us understanding of the Scriptures. It gives us understanding of present truth. It gives us understanding of the divine plan of the ages. The other book that we have is called the Book of Life, and that's basically the experiences that we go through during our time walking in this way. What are our lessons and assignments for this course? It's the application of the knowledge and the teachings that we have been given. In 2 Timothy 3:16, 17 again, "All Scripture given by inspiration of God, profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction in righteousness." First of all, let's look at doctrine. The Holy Scriptures contain the full statement of the divine plan of the ages. It reveals the true character of our God, powerful, wise, just, loving, and full of mercy and compassion. Ephesians the first chapter 8 through 10, "That in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him." Also in Ephesians 4:11 to 15, gave some apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, that we henceforth may be no more children, tossed to and fro, carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of man, cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. We're taught reproof from that scripture in 2 Timothy as well. And a better word is proof or conviction. And by the study of God's word, we develop a deep conviction that what we believe is true. We're taught correction, which is a straightening up again or a rectification. We're bent over by sin. The Lord helps us get the kinks out and straightens us up into the full stature. We're given instruction in righteousness. The Greek word instruction signifies tutorage, education, training, by implication, disciplinary correction, which includes chastening, chastisement, instruction, and even nurture. This implies a very special relationship between the Lord and his pupil, a special watching over and guidance as a father over a child. We are taught of the Lord by his word. So we also have a counselor, and there are many scriptures in the Bible that tell us about God being a great counselor for us. Psalm 73:24, thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. Here are some of the counsel that we're given. It's very all-encompassing. Luke 6:35, do good and land, hoping for nothing again. Soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. Proverbs 15:1. And we have many scriptures along that line. The Lord counsels us as his children to forget not the assembling of ourselves together, and so much the more as we see the day drawing on. He counsels us that his grace is sufficient for us, that his strength is made perfect in our weakness. He counsels us on how to think. Philippians 4:8, where we almost have a week of manna text from this scripture. Whatsoever things are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, good report, if there be any virtue, any praise, think on these things. He counsels us regarding setting our priorities. Matthew 6:31-33. Take therefore no thought, saying, what shall we eat, what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. Seek first the kingdom of God, his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And it's just nice to know that he is watching out for us. He counsels us to love one another. And what's even more difficult, he counsels us to love even our enemies. He tells us that love is long-suffering, it's kind, patient, envies not puffed up or proud, rejoices in the truth, bears all things, and endures all things. The Lord's word counsels us on every avenue of life, that the man of God may be thoroughly furnished unto all good works. But remember, it is one thing to know his counsel, and yet much more difficult to obey the counsel. Matthew 7:24 highlights this for us. It says, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house on a rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew, beat upon the house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone who heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Important to obey his counsel. We're also taught from experience. We not only receive instruction from God's word, but we also learn from our experiences. As in school, part of our course includes assignments that give us hands-on practice. It's one thing to have the head knowledge, but it's much more important that we actually apply that practically. And as Christians, as Bible students, it's very important that practical application for us. Nothing teaches like doing it, the experience, the application of it. Sometimes it's even called the school of hard knocks that we go through. It's difficult, but that's the way we learn. Romans 5, 3 to 5 sort of tell us that, and not only so, but we glory in tribulation also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, patience experience, experience hope. Hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, which is given unto us. Going on, we see the apostles' discussion in Hebrews 5, the 12th to 14th verses. It says, strong meat is provided through God's word for those of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. And yes, we are taught by tests and examinations in our course of Christ-like Character 101. And, you know, a lot of times students say, well, you know, I know that we really don't have to have a test or quiz on that. But it's very necessary to our Christian growth, isn't it, that we actually go through the tests. What is the purpose of these tests? There's a nice quote from reprint 1653, and the question is, why should a share in the coming glory be made dependent and contingent upon present sufferings? And we answer for two very important reasons. One, because severe trials, testings, assignments of our love for God and His truth and our faith in Him and His promises are only a wise provision on God's part in view of the very high honor and responsibility of the great office to which He has called us. So, the severe trials and testings are extremely important. It goes on in reprint 1653. And the second reason is a share in the coming glory is dependent upon present sufferings, for the reason that the coming glories are to be bestowed upon only those who have the Spirit of Christ, the disposition of holiness. Whoever has received this Holy Spirit or disposition and been transformed by the renewing of his or her mind, so no longer selfishness but love shall rule over his thoughts and words and deeds, that person, if the world at all, cannot avoid present suffering. So we have to be tested to make sure that we will be able to help the world in the age to come. These conditions will not be changed, the reprint article also goes on, until the testing of the little flock is finished. God will permit evil to be in the ascendancy until that testing, sifting, refining, and polishing of the bride of Christ is fully accomplished. Then Satan shall be bound and not be permitted to further blind and deceive the nations during that millennial age of blessing. But on the contrary, the little flock, the overcomers with Christ, their Lord and Head, will bless all the families of the earth with a full knowledge of the truth. So a wonderful time to look forward to if we are faithful. In Hebrews, the 12th chapter, 5 to 13, it talks about how important the chastenings and these chastisements are to us, because they provide instructions in righteousness. So these quizzes, assignments, evaluations, chastenings, very important to us. And in finishing up that scriptural passage of Hebrews 12, 5 to 13, it says, now no chastenings for the present seem to be joyous but grievous. Nevertheless, afterwards it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down, the feeble knees, make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. So we all require the lessons, the chastisements. They're very difficult to go through at the time. We sometimes wonder why they're happening to us and why. But we look back and we see that it was for a very good lesson and reason for us. And just emphasizing that point, in 1 Peter 5, the 10th verse, 1 Peter 5:10, "But the great God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you." We must remember there's a very special relationship between the Lord and his pupil, a special watching over and guidance as father over a child. In our text in 2 Timothy 3:16, the word instruction in righteousness also includes the thought of nurturing. Don't we find this to be so? John 10:14, Jesus tells us, "I am the good shepherd, know my sheep, and am known of mine. I lay down my life for the sheep." And in Isaiah the 40th chapter, the 11th verse, he tells us, "He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm, carry them into his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young." So the Lord provides us with great comfort in our troubles and difficulties as we go through these testings and evaluations. If we are taught of God, we want to succeed in this course of Christ-like character 101. We need to come to class with a really good heart attitude. And there are five things that we need to remember. We've put them there under part three of your handout. First of all, we have to have reason. Secondly, attendance, punctuality. Third, attitude. Fourth, dedication to study. And fifthly, to communicate with our instructor, with our Lord. So, first of all, we must come prepared to use our minds and our reason. We live in this peculiar time of this hour of temptation, it's called, when rampant infidelity, we see excessive liberalism in the world today. We also see stolid conservatism as well. And they're each striving for mastery amongst the various governments and people around the world. And we have to be careful that it doesn't come in and creep in and affect us. Our reason is one of the noblest faculties that we have in the human mind. It is the prominent mark of divine likeness. It is this that gives us strength over the brute creation. It is this that makes us capable of communion with God and capable of knowing and serving Him. The Lord tells us to come, let us reason together. And it's so wonderful that we have our ecclesias and classes to come together to discuss the Lord's Word and God's plan. To ignore human reason is therefore to greatly undervalue God's gift to us. That God would not have us to do so is manifest from His constant appeals to the human reason in the presentation of His truth. Ours is a reasonable faith built on the power of logical deduction. We're just going through the sixth volume in our home class, and it's just so nice to see the reasoning powers that mankind have compared to the brute creation. We see Apostle Paul. He was a great logician, and he expounded upon the truths. In Psalm 32:8-9, our theme text today, we read about instructing and teaching and guiding. But the ninth verse says, "But Be ye not as the horse or as the mule, who have no understanding, whose mouth must be held in bit and bridle. God would not have us serve him without intelligence and without force. So we should try not to underrate or overrate human reasoning. And James 3:15-17 tells us that wisdom is from above. It's first pure, peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated. So we must be put on our thinking caps and reason, be of a meek and humble spirit to hear what the Lord is saying. We need good attendance and punctuality. Show up on class, be punctual. Attitude is everything. That's a saying that we hear today. And good, positive attitude is so important. And we're not to be as this horse and mule that have to be led by a bridle or a bit. The fourth point, dedication to study. Just read one scripture here, Psalms 119:11. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. And how important it is for us to study. And fifthly, communication. To communicate often with our teacher. We have that June 10th manna text in Luke 11:1. It says, Lord, teach us to pray. And how important it is that we understand the importance of prayer and that it's two-way communication if we are sons of God. So if we learn all our lessons, study our textbook, do our assignments, pass our tests successfully, we will have reached our goal, the purpose of this course of Christ Character 101. We have reached the graduation of perfect love and be thoroughly conformed into the beautiful image of God's dear Son. So in closing, brethren, just leave with you 1 Peter 1:10-11. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fail. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So, brethren, let us seek to be taught of God, and may the Lord add his blessing.